O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And welcome to another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. We are in the house. Captain Travis Yackel coming to you. I got a good buddy of mine, Captain Rick Lyles, coming in today.
Hey.
Another great South Shore guide coming in talking with us today. Jason Pareto's pulling a Captain Danny on us today. He's getting ready for a cruise. So we're gonna get in here and talk a little fishing today and kind of fill you guys in on what's been shaking on. So Captain Rick, like I said, is a full time fishing guide on the South Shore. He actually some of our older listeners, he may have heard him on here before, but
you don't have to be old to remember me.
Pretty old. But yes. Anyway, good guy. A lot of good stuff to offer. So
it's been a few years. I think I left the show in the spring of 13. So
it's been a few. It's
been 3 years, yeah.
You got a few more gray hairs?
Got a few more gray hairs. More,
a little more wisdom?
Well, that's we're going to find out. That's debatable. My dad always told me, he said, son, if you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough.
That's the truth.
And right now, you looks like you're going to be a pretty tough hombre.
That's the truth, brother. That's the truth. So what's been good, Rick? What you been doing, man? You been fishing or been golfing?
Really? I haven't been golfing. I've been fishing, obviously slower this time of year than normal.
Right.
But still getting out on the water. And, you know, right now we're kind of, at least for me, I've noticed we're kind of in transition with some fish. The schools of redfish are around, and the schools of redfish are eating when you can find them and slow them down. The problem is slowing them down. So that's kind of been the primary focus I've had here in the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks is trying to find the redfish. But then when I don't get on a good redfish bite, we've been able to either catch snapper or trout. I haven't really caught any real good trout lately, but it's a steady bite.
Right.
And mackerel, you know, your go-to when things are slow. But
that's something, you know, interesting too, because I guess it's been probably, I don't know, 2 years ago or so that you and I had run a group trip and we were on your dock and we were cleaning some mackerel and you showed me a way to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know if
I can't take credit.
I don't know. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know where it came from, but I'm giving you the credit for it because you gave it to me. But it's something. And actually, you know, maybe we'll get Rick's blessing, but maybe we'll do a little Facebook video or something, because it's something I always tell people,
sure,
a way to clean those mackerel.
Yeah, no, it's definitely easier and faster and better, and you can skin them easy. And Greg McCullough showed me.
Okay.
So I can't take credit. Greg showed me, and
It's an interesting way to do it, and I've been cleaning my fish like that for charters, you know, since then, and I've got a lot of great feedback on, you know, how good it tastes, and you know, not as oily, not as fishy, you know, all those things, and so it's something pretty cool, little different than what you'd probably do if you just clean the fish, you know, you know, leaving that bloodline, that little bit of meat that left on the skin.
Right.
Off of there, and it tends to, you know, make the meat taste a little less gamey.
2 days ago, I cleaned some mackerel, and it was the first time in forever that I didn't do it that way. And they requested it. They said, "No, leave the skin on. We're gonna we're gonna grill them." I'm like, "Okay." I would like to show y'all a new way, but we left the skin on for them, and they were gonna grill them instead of fry them. And you know, I think that mackerel is the most underrated fish we have in the bay.
I agree. I mean.
For food value,
right?
Definitely a good food fish. They get a bad rap about being oily and being fishy, but if you clean them right, and that way is definitely right. It takes that fishy taste away from them, and they're really good for you. They got a lot of omega-3 oils in them, and it's a healthy
and they're
fish.
Fun to catch, and they're great fish to catch. Mm-hmm. I mean,
just
especially for kids. You know, a lot of people look and say, "Well, I'm a charter fishing captain, so depending on who gets on my boat." You know, what group we've got that day and what the expectations are of that group. You know, mackerel are always an alternative to just catching fish, having a good time. And, you know, a big fish fry or something like that.
Right.
You know, you want a lot of fish. It's 15 per person on the mackerel. So you can really, you know, put a good box of fish together, especially if you're trying to feed a lot of people or, you know, like I said, have a barbecue or fish fry or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but
you don't want to have to clean.
No.
I show them
how to do the first two and go, "Look, guys."
No, I'll clean them for you, but let's not keep 60 fish. Let's keep 15 or 18.
No doubt.
That's gonna feed a lot.
No doubt, man. But anyway, you know, one of the things we didn't get to talk about last week, at the end of the show, we led to it was, you know, snook season opening up. And you being another South Shore guide, what's kind of your take on it? As far as, you know, are you seeing a lot of slot snook? Obviously, you know, we fish in the same area, so I know you're catching snook.
Yeah, we're catching snook.
But what's kind of your idea? What are you seeing as far as slot snook, you know, along the areas with
fish? Well, I mean, obviously, we're not seeing snook like we did 8 years ago.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what, we ain't far off. We ain't far off at all. There's a lot of big snook out there, there's a lot of snook, period.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had this spring, I don't know, and you did too. I know you had several days where you catch 40, 50, 60, 70 snook in a day.
Easy.
And so I think the fisheries in our area on the South Shore, up around Whedon Island, down in you know, farther south, down in Manatee County, snook population is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's healthy. Now, there are some areas you know, hasn't shown the increase like it was, but I don't know how long that takes to come back. But if you want to snook fish, just don't go there.
It's all in due time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's all in due time. What I would say is that it's definitely on the comeback. You know, some areas are going to see it better than others. But in general, the fishing and the snook population is better in some areas than others.
It is.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, I think that from what I can tell, you know, and of course, you know, I'm a lot younger than a lot of the guys that have been fishing for a long time, but the areas where I went to go snook fish growing up, you know, down the west coast of Florida,
right.
You know, I'm still seeing the same, you know, fish that I saw, like, down in Boca and South Florida and stuff like that.
I caught snook this spring, Travis, and I've been fishing the South Shore. Well, the first trip that I can remember was 1971.
Right.
Going to date myself a little bit, but... I caught snook this spring in places that I had never caught snook before. Now, saying that, I struggled in places that I had caught snook in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Their patterns may be changing with the way the waters change and that kind of thing, but because we all know that the bottom changes. You get oysters show up, you get sandbars pop up, sandbars go away. But I caught fish where I normally don't catch snook, and I'm talking springtime. And then I didn't catch as many fish in places that were go-tos in the years past. So, you know, I think my thoughts are, I applaud the FWC for what they did. I think the FWC did a pretty good job after the freeze with keeping the seasons closed. Now, personally, I wish they had kept it closed one more year, but they had the numbers, and the numbers showed that it was time to open them up. And, you know, you want to catch a snook, come to South Shore. They're there, man.
They are. And it's all about the numbers. I mean, you know, the science guys, I can't argue with them. You know what I mean? I'm seeing what they're telling me. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I see what they're saying, you know. But everybody's got an opinion, and they're right to it, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, personally, me, I'm not running snook charters to kill snook right now. Still, I think I'm going to wait a little bit longer before I actually offer and say, look, we're going to go target snook
for the
fillet table.
Well, I didn't keep any all spring,
and neither did I.
Give them a good sales pitch. Hey, this is what we went through.
That's it.
We would kind of, you know, want to get more bigger fish before we start keeping fish. But I'm telling you, there is a ton of 18 to 24 inch fish out there.
Absolutely,
I mean, a bunch. So
a bunch. Anyway. And that's a good point you bring up, and that'll probably roll us into the next segment. But right now, guys, we've got to take a little break, pay some bills, hear some few things from our sponsors. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Ultimate convenience and organic food delivery is at your computer. OrganicHelpingMe.com is America's first choice for home delivery of organic, natural food, personal care, and pet products. All of the non-GMO verified foods, coconut products, and vegetables at deep, deep discounts. Go to OrganicHealthyMe.com to see daily specials from brands you're familiar with, such as Bar Harbor, Amy's, Eden, Enjoy Life, and many more. Hundreds of brands to choose from, all delivered to your door on time, at your convenience. No more hassle running around town to try to find your favorite natural and organic foods or personal care items. Your pet will love the variety and healthy products. Go to OrganicHealthyMe.com for a food delivery service you'll use many times over. OrganicHealthyMe.com, fueling the food revolution. OrganicHealthyMe.com is endorsed and featured on News Talk Florida and SportsTalkFlorida.com.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And welcome back, guys. Another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show.
Aren't we full of ourselves?
Fired up.
A great episode.
Fired up.
This is awesome.
It is, man. It's good to have you back in here, Rick. It's good talking to you, man. Normally, Rick and I, you know, have our talks on the dock.
Yeah.
But it's good to get you in here and get you back.
Good to be back.
Good to see your face here on the big screen.
Yeah,
look at that, man.
So good.
I'm glad you shaved.
Yeah.
You don't look like Grizz no more.
I wasn't shaving until my daughter come home, but I did shave a month early.
But that's good. So we were, before we went into break, we were talking a little bit about the snook and, you know, kind of what's been happening, and, you know, obviously season's open. I've been seeing a lot of people catch some big snook. I haven't really been targeting them. We've been doing redfish.
Right.
We kind of talked about that a little bit, too. And like you said, the big redfish schools are starting to show up. Big event this last weekend, the IFA Redfish Tour. Jason and I both fished it on two different teams, but fished pretty close to each other in the same area. And we're on a good little knot of fish, and things went good for him and not so good for me, but that's kind of how tournament fishing goes.
That's right.
So I'm really proud of those guys for taking advantage of the opportunity that they had, and I think they ended up getting a seventh-place finish with a little over 12 pounds. So
good.
Hats off to those guys. They did a good job there. And
that's a grind, man. People that,
it is, it's tough.
That have never fished those tournaments do not understand what kind of a grind that is to do.
I mean, it is, man. Especially,
and it's hard to get a top 10.
It is. And there's so many different methods and tactics on, okay, are you going to go to a bunch of different spots? Are you going to sit on one spot? Are you going to wait on a certain school? Are you going to fish potholes? Are you going to sight fish only? Are you going to blind cast? You know,
every tournament's
so different. Many different things, and that's where your pre-fishing kind of comes into play as far as, you know, what you've been seeing over the last few days of being on the water and what the fish are doing and when they're easier to catch than other times, when they want to, you know, kind of run around and not feed and certain things like that. And so we ended up putting some time in and thought we had a pretty good batter on some fish and ended up having quite a few guys, you know, down fishing in the same area, and things just didn't, you know, quite turn out the way we had expected to as far as the way the fish acted. But, like I said, that's tournament fishing. So especially when you're fishing this time of year when they get in the schools,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can be a little challenging. And it's one of the things that we had kind of talked about and have been talking about is fishing artificial. And, you know, being charter captains, it's something that we kind of forget about doing, is tying on some gold spoons,
right.
Tying on some jigs, or, you know, having some stuff ready for when you do get a school of fish that's pushing through and you know you're not going to stop them. It's a way to where if you've got some, you know, relatively decent fishermen on the boat, you know, they can cast and, you know, have some sort of accuracy to it. You can really be successful casting lures or, you know, artificial plugs to these fish when they're, you know, schooled up and moving along. So don't forget about that. I know a lot of guys get stuck with, yeah, in the mindset of, you know, got a live bait,
well,
got a cut bait, you know, and believe it or not, sometimes when artificial, you can catch a lot more fish, especially when you're moving that pattern. You know,
you can, but that can be, a lot can go wrong on a charter. When
absolutely.
In artificials.
especially you take one in the lip.
You put
one in the lip with a cat, then you got a problem.
I've never been hooked in the lip, but I have. I've done enough ducking and dodging with live bait on there to know that, and that's one cast ever, 3 minutes on average versus, you know, a cast ever 15 seconds or what have you, depending on what bait you're using. I can't imagine. I mean, I'd be crawling around on the deck of the boat going, let me know when you get one, I'll ease up and net him, because that's, I don't do much artificial with clients.
Right.
I just, if it's requested and I can tell that, you know, that these people got some fishing skills, will do that, but I just can't imagine doing too many.
No. And it's kind of funny you say that, because I have the tower. I'll climb up in the tower.
Well, you got a safe zone.
Well,
I don't have the safe zone.
It can be. It can be the safe zone or the danger zone, because when they get up there on the bow and they start slinging that rod back behind them, I fished a charter with another local captain, Captain Jason Thompson, a few weeks ago, and he got to see this firsthand. It was actually kind of funny. I mean, I turned in one direction. I was like, hey, guys, cast right over there. And the next thing you know, like, literally a hook went right by my ear. And I looked over, and I was like, holy smokes. And he saw the whole other boat was just dying laughing. Guy on the bow had no clue that he just about took my ear off.
Well, I tell you what.
And it's funny. We actually ended up catching some fish out of that pot of fish, but... you're right, man. It can get dangerous for the guy, you know, trying to make everything happen.
You asked me on the break about a come on man segment, and I didn't have one, but since we're
digging one up.
Since this conversation has taken this trail, I can tell you, I had here a while back a guy on the boat. Now I'm using live bait. Now he went back to cast, and he went so far back with it that he hooked the first eye coming up from the reel on a rod that I had in the rod holder. And I got a Ranger, so my rod holders are right along the side of the center console. Well, he didn't flip the bell, which if he'd have flipped the bell, this wouldn't happen. But he put so much oomph in that when he went to cast, it pulled that rod straight up out of the rod holder and onto the deck of the boat.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine if that's the side of your head?
Yeah, it would feel too good.
With treble hooks. With treble hooks.
It definitely wouldn't feel too good. And I'm a big fan of weedless. I'm a big fan of weedless.
Huge fan of weedless.
Big fan of weedless. Big fan of weedless.
Anyway, oh, yeah, man. That, yeah, you got it.
And you know, it's funny. You know, we talk about fishing schools of redfish. I kind of made a joke, you know, fishing some of these schools, and it's like I was talking to my cousin. We were fishing a tournament, and we were just kind of shooting a breeze, waiting for something to happen. And I said, you know, I said, it's kind of like when you see this wave of redfish coming, it's kind of like the old Civil War reenactments where you see the two guys, or you see the two different, you know, I guess countries or whatever that are battling each other, and they're kind of walking across, like, hold, because, you know, when the school's coming, it's like, when do you cast, when do you cast, you know, and it's like, you want to make sure they get close enough, you want to make sure they don't turn and stuff, so it's kind of funny how chaotic it gets in about, you know, 10 seconds, especially when you hook a fish. Power pole down, follow the school, it's just, it's chaotic, so,
well, you know,
good time.
Red fishing in this area, going back to the tournaments, man, we had some real... I don't want to say the word innovator, but we've had some tournament fishermen in this area for redfish tournaments that kind of paved the way for keeping the tournaments big and keeping them strong and giving them some momentum. I got lucky. The very first tournament I ever fished, I fished with Julie Allgood, and we finished third. It was an IFA out of Ruskin. I was fishing my home waters, so I don't have nothing to really brag about because I was in my backyard fishing. But
you got redfish like that in your backyard?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say anything, Rick?
We I don't want nobody else found them. But, you know, we've had Bo Johnson, the Watts brothers, Jay Winters.
Jay Withers, they took second place this week. Hope they're watching.
Those guys, When the tournaments first started getting some momentum.
Well, I remember.
And what's the kids? There's some kids.
The Alberto Cup.
There's some kids from over in Clearwater that started the whole fish sticker you see on the sides of the your truck, Salt Life or whatever it is. They were into those tournaments pretty good too, and they were very good for two brothers, and they were very good and young and really went after it
It's really become a sport, and I think where you're going with it is that you're right. Most of these guys paved the way.
That's right.
And they made it, you know, a little more marketable. They really put on a show. I remember going down in down in South Florida and watching some of these guys weigh in, and back in the day, and then obviously, you know, we started fishing the tournament. So it's really kind of brought the whole sport. Not only to television, but just, you know, social media and just, you know, you don't really hear a lot about it. You go out to Texas and Louisiana, it's so much bigger, out there. And it's something that, you know, I wish it was bigger around here. I mean, it is growing. It's tough to make a living at it. I mean, really, you know, or to, you know, put any side income to it because it's just so sketchy. You don't really have,
you have
to win every tournament.
You're going to lose money.
I mean, you couldn't do it, you know. And so, you know, we're thankful to have great sponsors that help us out and, you know, help us be able to travel and afford some of the expenses that it takes to put the time into, you know, to possibly win one of these events. So, but you're right, you know, some of the older guys, you know, that put the work in, you know, showed that, you know, hard work, integrity and pride and the fishing community, can do a lot. And I think it shows.
Some of the things they did too, and and I don't know the Watts brothers. I mean, I met them a few times, but I mean, I don't know them. But
I've talked to them a handful of different times. Both of them over at Power Pole, and
I'll use them. Oliveira is another example of a great
fiberglass,
fisherman that fished a redfish circuit that kind of help it along.
Well, Lord knows he's got some impact. I don't think there's a boat out there without a Power Pole.
Exactly.
But
those guys help bring sponsors in too.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And you can't have, and I'm not talking about their sponsors. I'm talking about sponsors to the tournament as a whole.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's if you've never fished a redfish tournament and you want to really get an adrenaline rush and be humbled,
IFA is one of them.
Go out there and fish one of those tournaments. And a tournament you think you're really done good, you go in and you're back in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. But speaking of sponsors, we're going to take a short break, guys. We're going to listen to a few of ours here on the radio show. You guys are listening to Tampa Fish and Outfitters Radio Show, 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And welcome back, guys. Another great, 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 great
this is a great, episode. Great show.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show. You're here, Captain Travis Yackel at the helm. I got my good buddy Captain Rick Lyles in, filling in today for Captain Jason.
He just brought me
He throws a net every now and again, every once in a while. But anyway, no, we're in the studio. We're talking. We got a lot of stuff going on today. We talked a little bit about snook, talking some redfish tournament stuff. Come on, segment. I got one, man. I mean, it happened this weekend during the redfish tournament, and a lot of the guys that were fishing in the same area that we were fishing in can justify what happened just as plain as I saw with my two eyes, but we barreled down, got on a flat first thing in the morning, got set up looking for some redfish, and here come a boat blowing down middle of a flat in an idle zone, motor zone, no run zone. Come blowing through, runs about, I don't know, 20 yards or so off the bow of my boat, does a donut around me, does a donut around the next boat, weaves in and out of the next three boats, and lays it down about half a mile down the flat. So I'm thinking, okay, well, but, you know, we'll just let that settle down. I'm going to keep my cool. Well, about 5 minutes later, here he comes again. Right back down the flat. And barrels on down through, does another donut, lays it back down, and proceeds to just pick potholes out in front of me with live bait as we're trying to, you know, fish some fish that we had seen the last 3 days. And it was a very, very frustrating moment, particularly when you know the guy.
It was not me.
And yeah, damn it, Rick. it was a very come on man moment. I mean, just come on, man. And the funny thing was later after the day, I talked to him and we got to talking about it.
He goes, now, was he in the tournament?
No. And he goes, I didn't see them redfish up there. And I says, well, no kidding, man. I says, you ran them over. They were right in front of my boat. He goes, no, they weren't. I was up there before the sun come up and blew them all out. and I'm like, are you serious? Are you seriously telling me this?
Come on, man. So you know that wasn't me.
So, you know, all the guys that fished where we fished in the Redfish tournament this weekend, chances are if you were looking for redfish up there, they probably got blown out at about 6:30 in the morning before we all got there. So don't feel bad. But anyway, it is what it is. That's tournament fishing. Anybody that's been there and done it knows, you know, you don't count your chickens holding a basket full of eggs.
No.
You just don't.
No. Nope.
So it is what it is. You move on, you pack your stuff, and you go on down the road. So,
come on, man.
But Rick, so what's good, man? How's the bait situation been? Pre-fishing up until the IFA, you know, I do a lot of artificial stuff. I've even taken, you know, quite a few clients out and, you know, fish redfish schools on artificial. So I've been getting bait, and I'll be honest with you, I've been getting bait up north. I don't know if, you know, a lot of guys have been running up that way, but I've been getting some good bait up north. Trying to get away from some of that fry bait. Seemed to be once I break past the river there, the bait seems to grow up a little bit. Been real good. So
I've been getting the south, and I've been dealing with the fry baits, but there's good baits mixed in.
It's weird if I noticed, and we kind of always talk a little bit about bait, because I know a lot of guys try to listen to the show and figure out some stuff. So one of the things that I've been noticing is if you are fishing south and you're trying to get bait, there's a lot of fry bait. And so a lot of times what I'll do is I'll start chumming a little bit, and if I get some white bait to come in, a lot of times it's the bigger stuff first, I'll throw.
Got it, yes.
And I'll throw, because once the little guys catch
they
wind of what's going on,
they run the big baits off.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so it might take you a little more time to actually get a live hole full of bait, but a lot of times what I'll do is, you know, I'll pick 3 or 4 dozen off in this hole, and I'll move. I won't even keep chumming in that spot. I'll just keep moving, and I'll end up, you know, eventually getting a live hole full of bait and fishables. And if I've got a full day, you know, I'll go ahead and just whack, you know, a net full of those little guys, especially if I'm going snapper fishing or, yeah, exactly, you know, something like that. So that's kind of what the bait situation's been like for me. I also like fishing with pinfish. Me and Jason go back and forth on it a lot. And if you guys have been out on the flat lately, you've noticed a lot of pinfish. There's a ton of them. For me, I like fishing with them.
Pinfish need love, too, now. I don't throw
especially if you're fishing for, like, some of these snook. Snook love pinfish, man. Even smaller, you know, pinfish that are 2 or 3 inches long, sometimes if you're not getting the bigger white baits, you can substitute, you know, a 2 or 3 inch pinfish for a fishable bait and use your smaller fry baits for chum. Mm-hmm. And you can chum with the smaller fry baits and actually throw the pinfish out there, and you'll see that you're actually going to be pretty successful with it. So that's just a little tip. You know, I have a forward live well on the front of my boat, and so if I have time in the morning and there's pinfish, I'll separate them. I'll put in my front live well, I'll put a bunch of pinfish, and everything in the back will be all white bait. And it just makes it easy, especially if you are going to live bait a school redfish. A pinfish throws a lot better than a white bait, like as far as putting it on a hook. And when that school is mowing through a flat, pretty much anything you throw out there, they're going to eat. But a cut pinfish or even a live pinfish on a cork, I like to cork them up if it's kind of deep where they can't get in the grass, and it's like it's cracked for a redfish.
That's Brady.
Come through.
Your buddy Brady does that.
My best friend Brady. Yeah, I hope he's watching, you know.
Yeah, Brady.
Good buddy of mine.
Brady's a great guy, man.
I like him, too. But anyway, that's kind of, you know, some of the stuff that I've been doing. And then cut bait.
Is that how you call that fish Saturday?
What's that?
Big pinfish like that?
Right in the corner of the mouth. Right there. Right there. We had a rough trip in the tournament this weekend, man. We had a tough tournament fishing. We caught a triple tail. It was a tough trip. I ended up putting a post on Facebook because a couple buddies were talking about, oh, he had a DQ tail and whatnot, and I said, well, you know, it was kind of a fluke, man. It was the only fish we had, and so we waded in anyway, and it ended up being like a completely embarrassing moment for us.
You can't help it.
But it kind of is what it is, and I put some pictures on Facebook there so you guys could check it out. And really, I just wanted to show everybody because it can happen, you know, I mean. Luckily, we didn't have two. I mean, it would have been a major, major bummer if we'd have had two fish.
That would have really.
And hats off to the IFA guys, too. I've been fishing those tournaments for a long time.
done really well in a lot of them, won them, and from, you know, not catching fish, being DQ'd, to winning, you know, some of their highest level events, through and throughout, they're always honest, fair mm-hmm. for me. And I, from other anglers, I think that are good anglers, I think they'd say the same, because it's probably one of the best officiated and ran tournaments, professional redfish tournaments that we see here in Florida, at least. So that's always a good thing. But anyway, it is redfish season. We're coming up on our last break here. We're going to take a break here in just a second, but hang on for one more segment here, guys. We're going to do the captain's tip of the week, and I think we got a couple good things up our sleeve that maybe help you get out there and catch some fish. So stay tuned, listen to some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
Catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Guy Blank Concrete is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. They're on the air to remind everyone to show support to the local men and women who risked their lives for our freedom and American way of life. Guy Blank Concrete, serving from Sarasota to Tampa with pride. Guy Blank Concrete, 941-400-0111. 941-400-0111. Guy Blank Concrete, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
What are you all smiles about, man?
My favorite time of the season is back, baby. Football season.
Yeah, mine too.
And that means I get to use my favorite website.
Oh, yeah. Let me guess what that is.
No, not that. MyBookie.lv. It totally lets me get in on the action. And if you sign up now and make a deposit, you get a 100% bonus.
I think I'd like to get in on that action.
And it's mobile friendly, so I can pull it up from my phone anywhere. Even if I'm late and the game has already started, it's no problem. They've got live in-game action.
Yeah, but what happens when it comes time for a payout?
I never have a problem getting a payout. There's no hassles, no runaround, and they got the best customer service ever.
Sign me up.
Call 844-900-2387 or go to mybookie.lv. Sign up, make a deposit, and get a 100% bonus. If you use the promo code RADIO and make a deposit within the next 30 minutes, you'll get an extra 10%. There's no hassle, there's no fine print, and they've got the best customer service in the business. Only the biggest, only the best. MyBookie.lv.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Hey, I'm Dave Anderchuk, and you're listening to 1040 The Team.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by Powerful Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to powerpole.com.
And welcome back, guys. Tighten the drags. You're going to get hooked up. We're getting hooked up today.
Yeah.
You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, 1040 The Team. I got yourself Captain Travis Yackel in the studio. Captain Rick Lyles coming to you. Shaved his beard. Don't look like Grizzly Adams no more. So if you're out there on the water and you don't recognize him, it's because he's all baby faced up on you. I trim mine up a little bit too, but anyway, getting into wintertime, we'll probably grow it back out.
Yeah.
So, but fourth segment of the show, guys, it's been a good show. Just me and Rick in here tonight, hanging it down. Got Jason out there packing his bags, packing all underwear, bikinis, and whatever else he takes with him. I don't know. Dang sure ain't gonna be a fishing pole, I can tell you that. But Tavis tip of the week. That's what we got going, Rick. I kind of alluded to mine a little bit in our last segment, but talking a little bit about what kind of the bait situation's been, and something that I like to do is I like to fish with pinfish, and a lot of guys don't. And it's something that probably this time of year I would say that'd be my tip of the week is, you know, the guys that are struggling to find, you know, good live bait, good bigger live baits, lay back and get a live well full of fry baits to chum with and sit in a pothole and get you, you know, a few dozen 3 to 4 inch, 2 to 3 inch pinfish and fish with those instead. You're going to want to probably up your size hook on that. Go to like if you're fishing with like, say, a one-aught or something, a number one J or circle hook on your live baits, maybe up that to, you know, a 3 or so if you're going to be fishing with a pinfish. And also just a little trick, I like to tail hook my pinfish, and I don't like to stick them so hard in the bait that the hook doesn't pop out. I like to where when the fish gets eaten or when the bait gets eaten, I want the hook to pop out of the bait. And so a lot of times I'll tail hook that bait right below the old poop chute, and that's generally where I'll tail hook a bait, and it's just a little soft spot down there, and when they eat the bait, when you go to set the hook, which is natural, mm-hmm. You tell them don't snatch, but it happens.
It can happen.
And so when that does happen, I like for that hook to be able to pop out. A lot of times on a pinfish, it'll roll over or get stuck in the side or something like that. So that'd be my tip of the week is if you can't find the bait you're looking for, try some pinfish and give it a shot. So what you got, Rick?
My tip of the week, if I get to give one, is especially right now with the water clarity where it's at after the storm, we still have some pretty stained water.
Mm-hmm.
Would be, I know a lot of guys like the free line, and I like the free line as well, but right now with the water temp or the water clarity being kind of dingy, I would say put a float on and a popping cork.
Make some noise.
Just help them locate it. Let them, you know, fish are curious. They're gonna move a lot of them to a sound.
Mm-hmm.
And just maybe give that a shot instead of just kind of put the free line on hold for a couple of weeks till this water gets back to being as clear as it should be.
Yeah. And I've noticed, too, I've been fishing a little bit deeper, Rick. I found that out on some of the bars, especially some of the bars north, the water tends to clear up a little bit as you get away from
the
bushes.
It does. And you know, salt water is heavier than fresh water. So all that runoff is going to be more on top. So fish that are wanting to keep in an area where the salinity is more tuned to what they want, they're going to be a little deeper in the water column.
Pretty cool.
If that makes any sense.
That was pretty scientific, Rick.
I'm a scientist.
I believed it. Like, I was totally in. Like, I'm there. Like,
yeah. I'm using the state of the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, you left the light on.
Yeah, definitely. You know, certain times of year when you get a lot of rain like that, sometimes. And I'm not talking, you know, I'm talking about you're fishing a, you know, 4 or 5 foot deep on the edge of a flat or something.
Right.
A lot of those fish are gonna come off the shoreline and go out a little deeper, and then that water out there is even gonna have more salinity, you know, the lower it is.
Yeah, and I agree, and that's kind of like what I've been seeing, and I mean, not to throw anybody off, but I've been fishing some schools of fish, and they've been deep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been
mm-hmm.
really, really deep.
Mm-hmm.
Deep where you don't even see them deep.
Well, I pushed up on a school of redfish the other day that I've been seeing these redfish, or I had been seeing them fairly often before the storm, and then after the storm, I'm out there looking, and I pushed up on top of them, and they were probably in 5-6 foot of water,
mm-hmm.
and they were hard to see
yeah.
because of the water being, you know, kind of having that tannic acid look to it. but they were all the way down on the bottom.
All the way
and
on the bottom.
They did not move until the front of the boat got over top of
yeah.
them, and then they pushed off. So,
and that's kind of that's one of the things I've been seeing too, and what I've noticed and what I like fishing about those deep water fish is that generally if you can find them and you can put a pattern on them, they're not as sketchy as fish that'll get up where their grass are in the you know where their bellies are in the grass rather. All those vibrations from the trolling motor, all those different things that have kind of pushed them around a little bit. Those deep water fish really tend to be able to settle down. You can actually pick them away, especially if you can find an area.
And if you find those fish, you're probably going to be the only one on them.
Chances are. You know, that's the guy that's out there trolling motoring around on the outside of the signs, and you're going, what the heck's that guy doing? His trolling motor must be messed up. No, he's probably out there smoking.
And they're
them,
sticking
fish. You know?
Yeah.
But it is, and it's one of those things where, you know, you got to kind of stumble across a gym, really, to find,
oh, man.
To find those types
of
fish.
I mean, I've found fish by mistake so many times.
It is. It's something that I commonly do, especially being a charter captain. You know, we always talk about A, B, and C spots, and, you know, the night before you plan a trip, and you go, you know, I'm probably going to start here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to work my way through this tide or this whatever. And on Saturday and Sunday, you always change that,
right,
obviously.
Absolutely.
But we always talk about we're normally fishing plan B most of the time, because plan A is most of the time.
Plan A hardly ever works.
You know, it's just really
it's
never
the
there.
Plan.
You plan for it, but he's generally never there. And so, you know, you're normally fishing on B and C, and it does good because,
right.
that, you know, like me, I named my company Instinct Fishing Co., and that's kind of how I fish. You know an area, you've done your homework in a certain area, and you've got on a pattern, but if that pattern doesn't work and they're not there, then it's the good fishermen that go out and say, well, where'd the fish go,
right.
or where would they be if all this pressure's up there, where are they going to go to, and things like that. And so getting out and searching the unknown is really where you find some of those hidden gems out there, you know, patterns on fish or not to fish or, you know, an edge or a bar. I know a couple bars that are out in the middle of nowhere that you'd never think, and it comes up to like 2 feet of water.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever, you know what I mean? Nobody ever finds them or sees them or fishes them, but there's fish there. And so there's a lot out there. Don't just follow everybody around. You know, spend some time out there, trolling them around, you know.
What he's saying is don't follow him.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there.
Preferably follow. There's a 22-foot Bay Ranger. Ranger. It's blue. This guy runs it. Always on the meat.
Yeah.
Always on the meat.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We never talked about
tides.
We got some great hill tides.
We do have good tides.
The full moon on Saturday got some great hill tides this week. We got rain. We got rain in the forecast, and a hill tide. You know, when I say hill tide, I'm talking about an afternoon
dump.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so the tide is going to be right for some good afternoon fishing. Whether the weather is right for that, you know, we don't know yet.
Here's what I'm going to say. We're going to have some full moon low tides. I'm going to come out right out and say it. For all you guys that got skiffs and shallow running boats, stay off the south shore when the tide's going out so we can go red fishing. Because when y'all fools go blowing down the south shore when the tide's falling out, all them redfish are going to push off of there, and ain't nobody going to be able to find them. So this week, park your tower boat, park your flats boat, and get out and wade or do something else when that tide falls out. Because the fish are up there, but you ain't going to find them if you keep running them over. So that's my rant. That's my rant. Because I've been redfishing for the last couple weeks now, and it's starting to really get irritated.
Yeah.
Because if it's done right, guys, you can really see some neat stuff out there. But if you're just running around like a crazy maniac, chances are you're not going to catch any fish, and you're just going to ruin it for everybody else. So take your time, go slow, and you can get out there and find some fish. So, Rick, go ahead and, I want to thank you for coming out and doing the show with me tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Jason, you suck.
Didn't scare Jason off.
Make sure you pack your tea bags and your flip-flops and your bottle of rum. But, Rick, if anybody wants to go fishing with you, how do they get a hold of you, buddy?
813-601-2900. Don't even have a website no more.
That's it.
I don't even have a website.
That's it. Well, I know it's real simple fishing charters with Captain Rick.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested in doing a little South Shore fishing, Captain Rick's a great alternative. We all work together, and definitely appreciate you guys following us on the show and listening giving us some feedback and letting us know, you know, what you guys want to hear about. So
I got to give a shout out to the guys at Pirates Point. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my boundaries are on that. New ownership at Pirates Point.
There is
Tom and Tammy Saxon in there now. They've done some great things and just want to say good luck to them. And if you guys don't know about Pirates Point, check them out. It's a neat little fishing getaway place.
Really cool place. I bring quite a few clients in there. I know you do too. And we've always ran, you know, a number of great events out of there. It's a really cool place to stay. A little more low-key, cottage-style, personal, private little villas right there on Little Manatee River, right off of Shell Point Road, just up from Little Harbor Resort there. So it's always a great alternative, especially if you're, you know, bringing the family in, want to have a little low-key deal. They got a pool, barbecue, all kinds of good stuff. So definitely check those guys out if you're looking for getting down to the South Shore area and hanging out for a few days. So definitely check those guys out. But anyway, Rick, it's been a good show.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming in, giving us the information, and I'm sure we'll have you back here real soon, man.
Hope so.
So, guys, it's been a great show. Captain Travis signing off. We want to thank everybody, especially on Facebook, for watching us here. We're going to try to do things, get better every week. Next week, real quick, we got, I believe it's Chasten Whitfield with her organization that she does, helping out the girls, little girls. I don't know a whole lot about it, so I'm kind of winging that. But we're going to have Chasten in here next week, talking to her, get some information about what she's got going on, and should be a good show, so tune in next week, guys. Again, thanks for watching. We'll catch you guys next week. Captain Travis Yackel, Captain Rick Lyle signing off.
Out.
Another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. We'll talk to you next week, guys.